It's time for What's Up with Jacinda Ardern.
Hi.
Hi.
Jacinda.
Good morning. How are you?
How are you? Good, thanks.
Oh, yep, just winding up for the Monday.
Just winding up for the Monday. Yeah, yep. Just wanted to pretty much get straight to the point, Jacinda.
Like, what are you coming in with? I feel yourself. I can tell that you're almost like lunging in the studio. Like,
I'm trying to hold my lunge back. Good morning to you. Thanks for speaking to us again. Like we say, Ronnie, how far away from the election now, did you say?
8 weeks, roughly.
8 weeks for people to make up their minds on who they want to lead the country.
Indeed. Yep, 23rd of September.
The other guy that's on the poster with you, Andrew Little, admitted over the last couple of days that he was going to resign at one stage because of these latest Colmar, the filthy old, dirty old, tainted old Colmar Brunton bullshit polls.
Not his exact words, but they're my words.
Actually, just to be fair, but said that he considered resigning from the leadership. I mean, so close to an election, so that leaves you in an awkward position, doesn't it, Jacinda?
No, because he's still there and he's absolutely committed to staying there. I think what he was sharing was the fact that, you know, anyone I think who's sitting there watching someone get asked a question like that would think, well, gosh, if I was in that position, would I be reflecting on my own role? And, you know, and honestly, probably most of us would sit there and do a little bit of reflection.
Yeah, it's totally natural.
That's pretty much what he's admitted, that he's been really honest, that he sat there and reflected about the role he was playing and how important the election was. And I think, you know, I think in being honest about that, he's saying that he recognises that it's not about him, that people in politics, you know, people who observe politics often think that we're there for the power and the glory and all of the admiration that comes with being a politician.
I've been to parliaments and I've sat in those chairs that you guys get to sit in, and there's nothing powerful or glorious about those.
No,
those shitters.
No, and nor is there about the feedback I get in my inbox. But we're there because we think that we can do good things. But unless you win, you know, it's very hard to do all of those important things. And so, of course, we reflect on whether or not we're in the position to make a positive difference.
Do you think people care? Do you think people want an honest politician?
Well, I mean,
You'd hope so.
Yeah, well, I mean, even though people constantly believe that we're horrific people, I think it's still our duty to do everything we can to just demonstrate that we're
human New Zealanders.
Yeah.
Real-life human New Zealanders.
If it's really bad for everyone, if people think that we can't be trusted and that democracy's a bit rotten, then they stop engaging in it and then we're all in trouble. So.
As a broadcaster, it's my role to be completely unbiased.
Yes, indeed. Objective.
But I'm not. I think that's ridiculous. I think anyone that believes that is a fool. So I'm not going to lie about it. I didn't know where I was going. I've been looking to policies lately, and I think Labor's got great policies. But
we've got good ideas. Thank you for acknowledging that.
But
I don't like where this butt is going, though, Mike.
Well, the butt is. I wonder whether I surprised myself about how little I had looked. You know, I thought to myself, I haven't even looked into what. I've got a vote. I'm an adult. I've got to vote. I've got to tell everyone else to vote. I've got to get this done. I've got a thing coming up. The election thing coming up. I've got to get that done. Got to walk in there confident that I know what I'm talking about. And I actually didn't. I realised just how much I was basing my whole concept on politics in this country on personality, which is the only thing that I think has got the national government in the last couple of terms.
And you're not alone in that. A lot of people do that, and I do think, you know, that's probably something that's happening more broadly. It's not just our democracy. I don't blame people for that. There's so much. We're surrounded by information. You know, lots of people suffer infomania. They're just constantly bombarded with information. And so we ask people to make these long, thoughtful judgments about information that's not that easy for them to access. When we launch
It's never been easy for people to access. And people have made considered decisions on this sort of thing for years and years and years.
I'd question that a little bit, like, actually, because you think about even in my lifetime, you know, if you wanted to hear about what was going on in politics, you'd watch the 6 o'clock news, you'd read the newspaper, and you'd hear it on the radio. There are so many sources now, and we're not just hearing about our own politics. We hear about even
poor old us. Poor old us with all too many sources. Oh, you know, it's like that guy. There's an ad on TV3 at the moment with the guy. Oh, I'm hardly ever at home. I need an intuitive app. I need the news. That ridiculous News Hub ad.
I know
what you mean, but I kind of think that it's a big grown-up decision that we have to actually put a bit of thought and a little bit of research into. You know, that's why people used to go along and listen to town hall meetings or whatever it is, and that's why people used to follow what politicians
still
do, and not just.
I did one last week in Levin. There were like over 200 people there on a Friday night.
Ow! That's like a dance party in Levin. Good God. Yeah. What sort of questions are people asking you in those situations? Are they saying, are they going to you, oh, are you guys cool? Do you guys have nice smiles? Do you guys, you know, have you guys got charisma? John Key had charisma, apparently.
No, thankfully, that would be awkward if someone asked that in a public environment. But no, we've probably done a dozen or so of them in recent times. And I did one in Timaru and Oamaru the week before, and there are some themes. Lots of people now asking about mental health. Lots. That comes up a lot.
We talked about that a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
Remember we both agreed that was going to be a big thing coming up for the election. Good on both of us.
Lots of personal stories when people ask about it as well. And Andrew responds, you know, Andrew from time to time talks about having a family member in the mental health system and how difficult it was to get them help. So, yeah, I think that's part of the reason it touches so many people, because I've got those individual experiences. Other than that, water quality, climate change comes up, a whole range. Depends on the area sometimes and what's going on there and things that people are worried about. But I still, public meetings still happen. You might Facebook Live them just to get a little bit of extra, you know, reach. Mix the new and the old, but they traditional stuff. We still door knock. We still try and have face-to-face conversations with people, because all that traditional stuff still works.
So do you think, I'm not a big believer in polls. I think polls are really dangerous. I think polls, people start voting the way they hear the polls are running, you know,
I think that happens too.
And I think the Colmar Brunton polls especially, because I know people that have been, when they've been asked to do Colmar Brunton radio polls, and they've said that they listen to BFM, and they say, oh, BFM doesn't count, give us another one. I've had someone, hey Mark, remember you around told me that a couple of years ago, Mark? And then someone else is saying here that Colmar Brunton have our surveys that people only fill in for the free flybys points.
I'd be very upset if when someone said they voted Labour, they said Labour doesn't count. Give me another answer.
Yeah, but these polls don't necessarily come from. I can't just say that, you know, but you know where I'm kidding with that. But the
I think they can become self-fulfilling. In some countries, they don't allow polls for a certain period before election day to stop people simply feeding over off the what looks like what might happen, because you know people like to back the horse that they think might get over the line, and you don't want to have that effect.
So how does something like, I mean, the today's news is, this is going to be big news today about Andrew Little, you know, suggesting he may resign. How does that work?
That he thought about that, but it's not, and he's committed. But
Thank you for clarifying that.
Key.
That is key. He's racing to the end, sort of thing. But it's a difficult one for morale, isn't it? For people that are supporting you, people that are working on your campaign, on the party's campaign, you know, right up to election day.
I think probably actually what people who are certainly working on our campaign see is someone that's working as hard as they are, who's acknowledged that the fight is bigger than them. And all of our people who are out there working feel that pretty acutely. Regardless of whether they're working for a candidate, ultimately they're working to change the system. That's what they're there for. But people who are involved in politics obviously are inherently optimistic people.
They know that
things can be better. They're out there working because they love New Zealand, they think it's great, but they think it can be better. And so even when we have these low points, and these difficult moments, they're just grafters, and we'll just get out and keep going because we ultimately believe that Kiwis will show up and vote and hopefully hear some of the good things we've got to say.
I thought it was really interesting this morning to hear what Bill English, the Prime Minister of New Zealand, said about the low poll results. for Labor and Andrew Little's suggestion that he thought about resigning at one stage.
I didn't hear that. What did he say? I'm sure it was uplifting.
uplifting. There's an ad on BFM which suggests he's got a face like he looks like a loaf of bread with a face drawn on it, don't you? That was Billings, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's meant
to be Billings.
Yeah, that's meant to be Billings. I thought that was pretty funny. But I was just saying, he basically didn't make too much. He didn't sort of have that gloating prefect attitude that John Key would have had. True. He sort of said, "Hey, we've still got a lot of work to do for us to get into government. We need to get big numbers, blah 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 blah." And I thought that was kind of interesting. I thought that wasn't like
he didn't seize
the chance to kick Andrew Little in the ribs.
You don't want to be arrogant about it. You don't want to take anyone's vote for granted.
It's national. It's national.
He knows 8 weeks is a long time in politics. A lot can happen.
Stay
tuned, people.
Speaking of National Party, you are the opposition party at the moment. You're deputy leader of Labor, the opposition party. Tell me, what did you feel when you heard that over the weekend we found that methamphetamine is now more easy to locate for your average New Zealander than cannabis?
I said that a while ago. That wasn't new information for me. When I was in the East Coast a while ago, they talked about one of the reasons for the increase in methamphetamine use was a supply issue around cannabis, but also that there's a lot of drug testing in the workplace now and it doesn't show up in your system for as long as cannabis does. So people were pointing this to us as a problem
a
while ago.
Right. How do you feel about the fact that when Bill English took over from John Key, when John Key decided to resign that day, for who knows what reason, that he basically gave the order, right, now we stop the war on pee, we just shut it down? what's Labor's approach to it?
I think there's one of those issues that we can talk about the relative harm of every drug on the spectrum, but we kind of treats them all the same, when actually probably what we need to do is sit down and say, if we took a health approach, which one would be top of our list for being absolutely clear about the way that we tackle it, and which one would we actually take a slightly different approach to? No one's really done that. The Law Commission suggested that we do that, and I totally agree. I think that should be the debate we should be having. Personally, I also think if people are picked up for personal use of any drug, that a health-based approach would mean that you would talk about rehabilitation or support rather than criminalisation. You shove someone in prison and then give them a drug program, it doesn't work.
We've been doing that for years.
And it proves that it hasn't worked. When it comes to methamphetamine, though, there's nothing that I've seen in my lifetime that has been as harmful. You know, it's just causing so many issues. You know, I work across child, youth and family issues. I see it there. I see it, you know, in health and justice. It's just pretty horrific. And when you even have gangs saying that there's an issue with the impact it's having on, then that's a massive wake-up call.
Which makes it all the more interesting that the government is prepared to just fall back to the default on it.
Yeah, and which is why I think we actually need to be honest and say what we've done hasn't worked. Let's have a debate about what a harm minimisation approach looks like and what a health-based approach looks like as well.
Righty-ho. There's talk about migrant wages at the moment. That's it's a hot topic, immigrants getting jobs in this country. Is it something that Labor has got some dream fix for?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked a bit about this. You know, what's really clear to us is that there are gaps in our economy where we've got skills gaps, obviously, and we've always used migrant labour to support the New Zealand economy, New Zealand businesses and gaps that we have, and that's still going to be the case under us, you know, because there's no doubt that that's still an important area for us to use positively, migration. One of the things, though, that the government's done, instead of checking those labour market tests, making sure that you're always matching skills to where you've got gaps, real gaps, they've just kind of put in some arbitrary tests around income as a way to demonstrate whether the job you're in is skilled or not. And our view is that that's actually not a good way to assess skills gaps and skills needs. The different approach we want to take, though, is instead of just creating these categories that say carte blanche, if you work in this area, we've got a gap generally and you can access the New Zealand job market. Well, actually, sometimes a skills gap might exist in regional New Zealand that definitely doesn't exist in Auckland. So why don't we start ring-fencing some of those gaps so that we can really direct the skilled migrants into the areas that we genuinely need it. So that's one of the ideas we've been looking at.
All right, then, Jason. People are just a collection of text messages have come in here very quickly. Can you let Jukunda speak? Stop talking over her.
Jukunda before.
Jukunda. As soon as Andrew says I'll resign, Jacinda should have said, sweet, I'll help you pack your bags and give you a ride to the airport. Instead, she's allowed the Labour Party to hang in the wind. Cheers, Big C. It's from Big C.
Cheers, Big C.
Someone else saying, don't be a low information voter. Good call. Someone saying, hang in there, Jacinda. My whole family, are we voting Labour? Kiss, kiss, Gareth. Not Gareth Morgan, I don't think.
Big kiss to you, Gareth.
I'm careful now. Ruin the family. Comar Brunton also only poll people with landlines. That's a good point. That's 8 people. There must be 8 or 9 people.
I don't even have a landline, I don't think.
No, I don't think. This one's just been ringing for hours. And then there's someone asked a question. What do you think of strategic voting? Should Labour voters in Epsom vote for a local MP, vote for their local MP so that act David Seymour can't get in? David, look down my nose, Seymour.
I always reflect on how would I feel if I lived in Epsom about that voter choice. So I can't judge too much because I would find it very difficult. But
I think I'm in Epsom. I think that might be me. I'm not. I'm in that other. Although his billboards are in my house. What's he up to?
Well, he as a party leader, lurks. He's kind of everywhere, unfortunately. Oh, but if you want to get rid of David of ACT, if you want to get rid of ACT, then in Epsom, some strategic voting does make sense, if that's what you'd like to do.
Okay, all right. Okay, yeah. Well, we'd like to do. It's your choice, of course, being in New Zealand. Thank you, Jacinda.
Indeed.
It's got a big day for you. Big couple of weeks coming, big couple of months, isn't it, coming up to the election.
Big couple of weeks,
be the election,
prioritising our chats.
Hey, thank you very much, Jacinda. All the best. Good day to you.
Thanks, darling.
Bye-bye.
Catch you, bye.
That was What's Up with Jacinda Ardern.
BFM News Headlines.
Good morning. Coming up in the news at 9 o'clock. Labour announces a plan to get 20,000 Māori into home ownership if elected. The cost of toxic waste from a West Coast coal mine is set to be absorbed by New Zealand taxpayers. National's new policy on temporary work visas comes under fire from the opposition, and Russian President Vladimir Putin announces 755 must leave US diplomatic missions. These stories plus weather and surf coming up at 9.
Muchas gracias, muchas gracias. 27 minutes to 9.
Spare Cowabunga! Surf the information highway with me. It's a series of juice tubes.
Gary, this isn't the shopping. We're out of Halva and I've already read your 1D fanfic.
Chill, bruh. I'm shopping. Online shopping. Faro, online, dude.
You're not all bad, Gary.
Fresh produce, free-range meat, handmade breads and all kinds of local, ethical and delicious grocery products are now only a click away with Faro online shopping. A dose of deliciousness delivered direct to your door. Go to faro.co.nz.
Babe, time machine, sussed. I'm a genius. Where are we headed? Summer of Love, King Arthur's Court?
Nah, like 2015? Hotline Bling? Hello? Sorry? Leo and the Revenant? No Brexit or Trump? The USA burger.
Mm, yum. Burger's back, babe. Let's hit some Westworld shit.
Burger Fuel's USA is back. American mustard, bacon, hash browns, New Zealand cheddar, 100% pure grass-fed New Zealand beef, smashed, juicy, make flavour country great again. For more information and to check out their sweet giveaways, go to burgerfuel.com.
Creatives, designers, future thinkers, make your pilgrimage. Semi-Permanent is back with a radical roster of local and international speakers. Drink the innovation Kool-Aid. Be reborn into the cult of the creative. With incredible panels, talks, and experiences, prepare to reach upsetting levels of inspiration. Semi-Permanent 2017, August 11th to the 12th at the Aotea Centre. For information and tickets, go to semipermanent.com.
Unless that you are a recent visitor to this country, or were brought up in the Brethren or something like that. My next guest is probably a lot of the reason you like what you like today. Please welcome into the studio, well, somewhere where he's very comfortable because he actually does a show here, Mr. Murray Kamick.
Good morning, how's it going?
Hi Murray, how are you? Nice to have you along on the breakfast show here.
It's so early in the morning, they're putting plants in Albert Park, I've never seen that.
That's what they do, that's how the plants grow. That's how they have to plant them first and then they grow into trees.
Yeah.
Amazing. Days like the sunny old days, good day for planting. Murray Kamick, please tell us your history,
Yeah, my basic story is I went to Elam Art School and studied photography, then started Rip It Up in 77.
Rip It Up.
And then indulged in Southside and Wildside Records and done a bit of writing since and done Land of the Good Groove in various decades.
Fantastic. And when you, I mean, you make it sound so... But it's like there wasn't any decent magazines back in those days apart from Rip It Up. There wasn't any decent attitude towards visiting musicians other than what the record company wanted you to hear. I mean, Rip It Up's one place you could get a real life review, a real life interview, and it was you knew that when you picked up Rip It Up, which was free by the way.
Yeah.
Back in the day, then you knew that you were getting something that wasn't going to be a repeat of something written elsewhere in the world, which I think was a really. I found that very inspiring as a young man myself.
Yeah, well, we had some really good writers, and I really dread the fact that every sort of so-called website, which has replaced print, just seems to print to a company's press release, you know.
See, that's just something you could have done back in the day before everyone could double-check you on the internet straight away, but you didn't, you know?
No, well, we couldn't. We were accused of copying stuff out of NME, but sometimes our writers were just sort of NME fans, so they ended up with the same opinion, you know?
But then again, you know, this is a different... It's hard to explain that time as well. When Rip It Up was really chugging along, if you went to a concert and you wanted to get some photos from that concert that you went to, you either got them from Rip It Up, saw them, found them at Rip It Up, or there was that guy Graham, he used to take the photos and put them up in that shop in Victoria Street. Remember him?
Oh, yeah, I do. He's around, strong.
I mean, but they used to be the only people, the only way you could get a photo from what had just happened that weekend, you know, or something. What we're here to talk about today is AK 75 to 85, your photography exhibition, which is at number 10 Ponsonby Road, Black Asterix, from the 1st to the 22nd of August. And this is going to be a must see for anybody that's a music fan, isn't it, Murray?
Well, yeah, we've got about exhibition. 46 photos, which I've selected from. There's a whole lot of artists that I've, photographed that aren't there, from Lou Reed to James Brown. But there's a whole
gloater, is what you are.
There's a whole lot of others, you know. I mean, the Iggy Pops and the Dolly Partons and the local scene, the Screaming Mimes and Proud Scott.